Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Who is excited to be in God's house? David. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just being in church, just being in this atmosphere does something to your life. Amen. You can pass through a perfume company and not smell the perfume. I believe this morning somebody's life will change forever in the name of Jesus. One scripture, Luke 9:44, if I'm not mistaken. Luke 9:42, is that it? Luke 19, I'm sorry about that. Luke 19:42, please give it to me quickly. 19. If you have known, even you, saying, if you have known, even you, at least in this your day, the things that belong to your peace, if you have known. He said, but now they are hid from your eyes. Next verse. For the days will come, your enemies will dig trenches around you and all that. Please go to 44 for time's sake. And they shall lay you even on the ground, your children with you, blah, blah, blah. My emphasis is the last part. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Everybody say, time of visitation. Come on, say, time of visitation. Everybody look up here. Today, all across the world, Nigeria, the country called Nigeria, is leading the greatest move of God across the whole world. Does anybody know that? If you don't know that, I'm telling you right now. Anybody read the book God's General? Is there anyone who read that book here? This generation, we need to go beyond TikTok and Facebook and read. Let me see your hand. Anybody read the book God's Generals? Wow. Only about 10 people. It's a very dangerous sign. Very dangerous sign. I want you to know that history is being made today in our time. I want you to know that God is using Nigeria. What many years ago God used the UK and the United States to do in Africa, God is using Nigeria to do in UK, in US, and across the whole world. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I've been to churches in America. Let me tell you how they pray. Oh God, what we hear you do in Nigeria, do in our place. I'm talking of white churches. The things we hear you do in Africa, in Nigeria, can you do them in our place? The greatest gathering of believers today is when Nigerian preachers are hosting the meeting. Is anybody hearing me? The greatest gathering of believers across the world is either Nigerian preachers or Nigerian gospel artists. Who knows what I'm talking about? We're in the center of the greatest revival in one of the greatest times of history. And we are in a season of visitation. And I think it's a privilege that by the grace of God, House on the Rock is among the few churches that are going to be hosting some of the great men God is using around this generation. It's a great privilege. Does anybody agree with me? Come on, does anybody agree with me? I want you to see yourself as a privileged person. This is not just another program. No. This is another opportunity to host the city of Enugu. Apostle Selman was in Enugu sometime last week. And I had the privilege of being there. And he said to me, there are only two times I'm going to be in Enugu this year. That meeting and your meeting. And pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, it's not every time that we have the kind of privilege and opportunity we have. I want you to see yourself as a privileged person. And I want you to know that God is going to use you to bring a blessing upon the whole city. Say amen, somebody. This is the reason why we are going to pray this morning for one thing. Pastor Bidemi has made a presentation, a very simple presentation. But let me just take this scripture and we'll pray over it. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12. Quickly. We're going to pray over it in a few minutes. I'll use the next few minutes to just share with you and we'll close. How many of you believe we can do it? Come on. I said, how many of you believe we can do it? 2 Chronicles 20, 12. Everybody read with me, two, go. O our God, will thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither do we know what to do. Let's take the last part again. But our, for the very last time, oh Lord, our God. What Pastor Bidemi has spoken about looks very huge and gigantic. We don't even know how to go about it in the face of the economy in which we are. But our eyes are upon who? Upon who? I want you to close your eyes and say, Lord, we can do it. Our eyes are upon you. We will do it. At the end of it, it will be very successful. Our eyes are upon you. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. The beds on the mountain are yours. You are the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we have ever asked, thought, or imagined. Our eyes are upon you. Can you open your mouth and just turn that into a 60 seconds prayer this morning? Our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. One translation says, that's all we need. I want us to pray this morning and say, Lord, all we need is that you are our shepherd. This program will be a success. Can you turn it into a prayer? Nekora pako shande grebe de kose irebe de koshi kariata la brakata yakate jis mondo e brekete ko prokoske irebe de koshi graba da gada gado robo bobo kosia i prande gozili pregele ya kosa la brake de bo e sheke de ria kala baraka su brakata kade ke de barika i kaka kaka raba bobo bobo koshia grebe de kosia. Our eyes are upon you, O God. Our eyes are upon you because you are our shepherd. That's all that we need. Once you're on our side, every other thing will fall in place. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
My God, I cannot hear your amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you believe that this program is already a success, I want you to put your hands together and give God a clap and give him a shout. No, the way you clap, you don't believe that God will do it. Come on, go ahead and give him praise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Well, sit down like the king that you are as you welcome someone to church on your left and on your right. Tell someone, welcome to church. To all our online viewers, we are grateful you made it via the internet. Thank you. We would have preferred to see you physically, but we are grateful that you made it nevertheless via the internet. Want to thank all of you last Sunday for the love, the gifts, the blessings. God will honor you and he will bless you much more for honoring me in the mighty name of Jesus. Say better amen. This morning I want to bring a very brief word on what I've titled, Is There Not a Cause? 1 Samuel 17:23. 1 Samuel 17:23. Please put it for me. Is there not a cause? Everybody, turn to someone and say, is there not a cause? Look at another person and say, is there not a cause? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. Can I read all this reading? Okay, let me try. 1 Samuel 17, 23. All right, it's our tradition to stand on for the reading of the word of God. So if you don't mind, I will ask you to stand up as we do together now to go. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words, and David had them. Next verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from before him, and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel as this guy come up. It shall be that the man who kills him, he, the king, will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter as wife, and will make his father's house free from tax. Next verse. And David spoke to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man? Like he didn't hear the first time, that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Next verse. And the people answered him after the same manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth the man. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when David was asking these questions, and his anger was kindled against David, his younger brother. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom have you left those few sheep? Emphasis on few. Those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, stupid boy that you are. For that, come down so that you can see the battle. You pretend like you're coming to give us food. You are actually coming to see the battle, stupid boy. And David said, everybody now to go. Is there not a cause? What have I done? Is there not a cause? I mean, this guy is insulting the army of Israel. This guy is bringing a reproach upon the whole of Israel. This guy has made all of us look stupid and useless. This guy shows up, everybody is either running or hiding in fear. Nobody is standing up to this guy. What have I now done? With this insult on our nation, with this defying of the whole of the armies of the people, of the living God, is there not a cause for somebody to do something? Let me ask two people around you, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Bless your word, Heavenly Father. Even as we stand in your place this morning, do what you alone can do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Say a better amen. Amen. Sit down like the king that you are. Is there not a cause? Are you still with me this morning, somebody? Come on, talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, in the few minutes I have, I want to address the question that is in your heart. Why another conference? Why host all these very expensive ministers, very expensive to host? Why go through the trouble of another conference? Can't we just have normal church and just have a good time as we have always done every Sunday? Why do we have to stretch ourselves to do what we're doing? Is it for show? Is it to prove to Enugu people that we are a great church? Is it just to let the men of God know that, look, we are one of the happening people in town? What's the purpose of this whole madness about hosting a conference that's going to cost so much? In answering that question, my mind goes to a very interesting story in the Bible in the days of Elisha. Elijah had just died, handed over the mantle to him. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there were people in the land of Jericho at the time called the sons of the prophets. They were the most qualified people, as it were, for Elijah to hand over to, because they were the ones who are sons of the prophets. They have been the one being mentored by Elijah. They've been in the school of ministry. So naturally, Elijah should pick one of them and hand over to. But ladies and gentlemen, I've come to realize that God does not follow the curriculum of men. God has an heavenly curriculum. And by God's curriculum, he took a look at it And he saw that the most prepared person in that generation to take over the mantle from Elijah was not even in the Bible school, was not among the sons of the prophets, was a wealthy businessman who had a big farm. I think the Bible says he had about, is it 10 or 8? How many? He had tractors. No, that's more than that. More than that. This man had a large farm. And one day, Elijah was passing by him, used the mantle to hit him. The guy abandoned everything, ran after Elijah. Quickly went back, informed his entire family, he's resigning from the business, and began to follow Elijah. And by the time Elijah was to go, that was the only person that was qualified to receive the mantle of Elijah. Now the Bible told us, the moment he came back into the land after that Elijah had departed, these sons of the prophets met him with a problem in their hand. In 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 19. All right. So, the men of the city came to Elijah and said, we have a situation in this city. As you can see, they said, this city is pleasant as my lord's yet. But we have a contrary situation, contrary from the pleasantness of the city. He says, the water is not, the ground is barren. He said, we cannot explain the dichotomy of our city. He said, as you can see, Elijah, this city is pleasant. This city is well situated. He said, but we have a problem. Give me that same verse of scripture. Give it to me in the message translation. That same verse. This city is pleasant. He says, how can... You can see for yourself, Master. Our city is well located. Everybody say well located. But the water is polluted and nothing is growing. I think this is just explains the present situation of our country, Nigeria. Our country, our city is one of the best cities in the world. Like I told you a few minutes ago, Nigeria is the epicenter of the gospel. How many of you believe that right now in the whole world? Nigeria is one of the greatest countries God is using across the whole world. In fact, the people that fix most of the other nations of the world, great percentage of them happen to be Nigerians. We are well located. We are a blessed country, but we are a country of great paradox. We seem to be so blessed, and yet we also seem to be so cursed. Just for a few statistics, ladies and gentlemen, Nigeria has the sixth largest population of young people, ladies and gentlemen, with over 60 million young people in the whole world. Is anybody hearing me? With over 60 million young people in our country, which is much needed human capital for any developing country. Nigeria's gas is the highest number of forensic. Nigeria has the highest number of forensic ethnic minorities enrolled in American universities. Some of the most educated people in America. In fact, the most educated black people in America are Nigerians, not black Americans. Are you still with me? 28% of non-indigenous ethnic minorities are doctors in Nigeria. In America, sorry. 28% of non-indigenous ethnic minorities, non-indigenous doctors in America, 28% of them are Nigerian doctors. Nigeria tops the list of the highest number of enrollments for foreign enrollments into American universities. And according to the U.S. Census Bureau, Nigerian students are some of the most well-educated and the best students in the U.S. Some of you saw recently on social media that consistently the graduates from Canadian universities, most of them were topped by Nigerians. How many of you saw some of those videos? There's a particular case where the 1, 2, 3, 4 are all Nigerians, all of them first class. Are you still there? Nigeria ranks second in the top 10 mineral producing countries in Africa, according to the Business Insider. Nigeria accounts for 33% of Africa's gas reserve at 208.83 trillion cubic feet of gas and has crude reserve of 36.97 billion barrels, making the second largest in Africa and the 10th largest globally. That's how blessed we are, sir. That's how blessed we are. NAITI reports says that there are over 30 mineral resources and precious stones of commercial available quantity in Nigeria. And most of the mineral resources in Nigeria are still undiscovered. Are you aware that in the United Kingdom, a Nigerian family is officially recognized as the smartest family in the UK? One Nigerian family. They're called the smartest family. Are you also aware that the whole Nollywood, the Nigerian film industry, is the second largest in the world in terms of output, only second to India's Bollywood? These are just a few of the statistics of how blessed we are as a people. But ladies and gentlemen, this country is so well located, but the ground is not producing anything. Outside Nigeria, we do very well. But once you enter Murtala Mohammed International Airport and you enter Nigeria, it begins with power failure. It begins with there's no tissue in the toilet. It begins with the bribery at the point of immigration. Is anybody hearing me? The 2022 Multidimensional Poverty Index survey reveals that 63% of Nigerians lives in multidimensional poverty. That's about 133 million people out of 200 million people live in multidimensional poverty. Are you still there? World Health Organization states that Nigeria ranks 187 out of 195 countries with the poorest medical health system globally. Far, we are below Kenya, below Rwanda, below Egypt, below South Africa in healthcare. Thank God, Commissioner of Health is in church. In 2017, the International Police Science Association of World Security and Police Index ranks Nigerian police force as the worst at 127th out of 127 countries. Why are you shouting? Which other country do you collect bribe openly with audacity and boldness as people are passing like this? Hey, you back there. One day they stopped me at Onisha and I said to the guy, all my documents are complete. What more do you want? You know what the guy told me? So, guy, if you make noise, I go ask you for one paper when you don't get. It was my birthday. I was rushing to Enugu because I was coming. I was preaching. I said, oh, God, you've checked everything. Let me go. He said, if you make noise, I will ask you one paper when I know so you don't get. I go ask you. Are you still there, somebody? More than half of our population have no access to improved drinking water. I wish I have time to go through all this list, but I can go on and on. Is it crime rate? Is it kidnapping? Is it ritual killing? All sorts. Corruption is the one thing that is no longer a crime in Nigeria. It's done openly. This is the only country where, well, let's not enter there before I spoil the day. Are you still there, somebody? Country is blessed, but what's going on? How come we are so blessed and yet so poor? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, remember we are reading the story of David and Goliath. And we are saying, David had to ask, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Three things I'll quickly talk about. I have 9 minutes to go. Help me, Holy Spirit, now. I came to discover, ladies and gentlemen, what happened in Israel at the time of Goliath is a true picture of what our world is today. Number one, there are, every country has two giants. Everybody say two giants. I can't hear you say two giants. One of them is a positive giant. The other one is a negative giant. Let me speak about the positive giant. Ladies and gentlemen, Goliath came to Israel and said, guys, let's not waste too much time wasting bullets. I am Goliath. I'm the giant of the Philistines. Bring your own giant. We don't need to waste too much bullets killing everybody. And we fight with your giant. If I win your giant, Philistine has won the battle. If your giant wins, Israel has won the battle. We'll submit to you. God had already prepared a giant before that time in the name of Saul. Saul was the tallest man in Israel. Sadly, by the time for his manifestation came, Saul was not prepared for it. So now Israel was looking for somebody. The entire army of Israel wasn't ready to engage that giant. But ladies and gentlemen, have you come to discover that when you look at nations of the world, most nations of the world that are called great nations, they are great because of the giants that they have? Pastor, what do you mean by what you are saying? I explain to you. Let me tell you why America is great. It's because of the giant called Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet or Google, Amazon, Tesla, Berkshire Hathaway, Meta Platforms or Facebook, NVIDIA, NVIDIA, Johnson & Johnson, United Health Group, and so on and so forth. Why is America great? America has giants to produce. The greatness of those giants is the greatness of America. I hope you know that they said the tax paid by Microsoft alone, one tax in a month, they say it's equal to the budget of 10 African countries in a year. Is anybody in church? Please talk to me now. Why is South Korea very great? Ladies and gentlemen, very simple. It's because South Korea is great because of the giants called Life is Good, LG. Hyundai. Mention them now. Kia. The number one of them is Samsung. Samsung is the most highly quoted company in South Korea. That's it. Nations are great because of the giants they have. Why is Britain so great? AstraZeneca, Shell, HSBC, Unilever, Rio Tinto, British Petroleum, British American Tobacco, GlaxoSmithKline. Listen to this. Nations are great because of the giants they have. Look, show me a great nation, I will tell you the giants they have. Great nations are great because of the giants they can produce. Is anybody hearing me? Today, the only greatness Nigeria has is the greatness of spiritual giants. I hope you know the greatest tourism into Nigeria a few years ago was TB Joshua. A few years ago, that more people came into Nigeria because of religious tourism. Till tomorrow, the greatest tourism into Nigeria is either the camp meeting in Redemption Camp or some of the greatest spiritual meetings that takes place across the country. The only greatness Nigeria can boast of right now is spiritual greatness. All the other giants, we are still looking for them. Thank God for Dangote Cement, Dangote Cement, Dangote Sugar. Thank God for MTN Nigeria, which is the most quoted company in Nigeria. But it's not a Nigerian company. It's South Africa. But MTN Nigeria is bigger than MTN South Africa right now. Is anybody hearing me today? So, every nation has two giants. Number one is the positive one. Number two is the negative one. The negative one, ladies and gentlemen, is the one Goliath represents. And the first thing I want to say, the second point, these are my slides, and these guys who are holding the slides have gone to sleep. So they're not even knowing where I am right now. All right? Are you still there? Are you still there? For any nation to emerge and be successful, they must learn how to conquer. That nation must learn how to conquer the negative giants that come after them. Because you see, yes, there's a positive giant that makes a nation great, but there are also other giants that make a nation small. How many of you know that corruption is a giant? Please talk to me, somebody. Insecurity is a giant. That's why I want to commend the governor of Enugu State, who in the last few days, for the first time in over 10 years, I have felt safe in Enugu because we had a governor with security conscious. I think we should put our hands together for this governor. What is good, let's talk about it. And when they misbehave, we also talk about it. Come on, talk to me, somebody. What am I trying to talk about? Ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that until a nation makes up its mind? Now listen to this. The moment Goliath showed up, Israel had three options. Number one, the Bible says many of the people fled. How many of you know that if all of us travel abroad, Nigeria can never be saved? Please talk to me now. First thing that happened, they fled abroad. Many people ran away. The second thing that happened was that they started hiding out of fear. Nobody could stand up to the man. But that brings me to my final point, which is the fact that in order to bring down the giant that swallow nations, somebody or a group of people must be willing to pay the price. Pastor, what is all this big deal about SOAR conference? Why do we have to go through this trouble you want to put this church through? Sir, we are concerned about a nation that is so blessed but looks so cursed. We are concerned about a people that looks so educated, so enlightened, and yet so poor. We are concerned about the fact that many of you here can't pay your school fees. Many of you here are not sure of the next meal. I was in a group of pastors sitting down, we're talking, and one of them said, can we still rebuke our daughters for sleeping with married men to pay school fees? Based on the state of the economy, I said, the word of God is the word of God. We still have to rebuke them. I said, but this is the point. It's not about what they do. It's about the effect of what they do on their lives. that thing they do will destroy them. It's not sin. We rebuke sin not because of sin itself necessarily, but because sin, the Bible says, it will kill you. Is anybody hearing me? But listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Why are we going through the problem of Soar Conference? Because there's a nation so blessed we must redeem. There's a Goliath about to drown the nation that the church must arise and do something about it. Otherwise, we are done. Is anybody hearing me? So guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When this giant shows up, people were fleeing. People were hiding. David said, no. If all of us run, nobody will save Israel. Israel is a promised nation. Israel is God's nation. Israel is a nation with a prophecy. Israel is a blessed people. Why? How long are we going to run from these giants? How long are we going to hide in fear? How long will somebody do nothing about it? And he said, you know what? I will pay the price. They took him to the king. The king said, you're not a trained man. You don't have what it takes to engage this man. And he said to the king, he said, sir, he said, check my track record. He said, your son, your servant was in the wilderness. A bear came to take my father's sheep. I killed the bear. A lion came. I killed the lion. He said, this thing is not really about me. Because if I want to do what everybody do, even me too, I'm afraid of the size of the giant. I've seen the giant a couple of times. He said, but I have decided to put kingdom over self. Kingdom over self. Kingdom over self. He said, because this man is bringing reproach to the army of Israel. He said, what this man is doing is to slight the people of God. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Has anybody ever asked you a question before as a Christian? Churches everywhere, why is crime on the increase? Has anybody asked you that before? We have pastors everywhere, churches everywhere, preachers everywhere, but our poverty is worse than China where there is no church. Has anybody asked you that question before? It's a reproach to Israel. Is anybody hearing me? It's an insult to the God we serve. Let me tell you, the worst insult that slapped our face a few days ago was the fact that in this same country, leading the revival of the whole world, we finally got for the first time, for the second time perhaps. The first one did not even see the light of day. We have two Muslims as president, as vice president, in the face of millions of believers. And there was nothing. In fact, El-Rufai actually said, I've done it in Kaduna, now we can replicate it all across Nigeria. There are giants looking at us and saying, I defy the church of God in Nigeria. I dare you born again Christians with all your speaking in tongues. Let us see what you can do. You guys can do nothing. We can do what we want to do. And they are saying it to our face. And guess what? We are either running abroad or we are hiding in fear and nobody is able to reply. We have a giant that is in hiding. We have a blessed country with so much wealth. And yet, we are starving of hunger, dying of hunger. Something, if something is not done about this land, a point will come, ladies and gentlemen, can I say this to you? A point will come where, and I'm sure it's already happening, where our daughters in church, in their teenage, will begin to sleep around with men just so that they can have food to eat. It's already happening, what I'm talking about. But in a coded way. Pastor, why bother through this Soar Conference? It's because between you and me, sir, the destiny of a nation is at stake. A giant is looking at the entire church of Nigeria and saying, to hell with you guys, there's nothing you can do. This land will continue to be corrupt, continue to be poor. This land will continue to lack no good healthcare facility. See people die out of no... People die in Nigeria, not because of the sickness they had, but because there is no health care to take care of them. Is anybody hearing me? I was talking with a friend in Atlanta, and he said to me, my father died of this sickness. My grandfather died of it. He said, if I remain in Nigeria, I know me too, I will die of it. He said, he's a successful lawyer in Nigeria, maritime lawyer, earning money in dollars. He said, I relocated for only one reason. I want to be alive because of health care. What happened to us? How can our doctors, 28% of non-ethnic doctors in America are Nigerians, but we have no doctors here. And can I tell you, with the level and the rate of JAPA to UK right now, the days are coming in Nigeria, and it's not long, where you will go to hospital, nurses you won't see. Laboratory scientists you won't see. For doctors, they're already on the go, they're already gone. You know what that means? That means our mothers will die on the deathbed, on the delivery bed. That means our children will have ordinary malaria and not have a doctor to treat them. Guys, if we don't do something about our situation, the location of this country is pleasant. But if we don't arise and do something, between you and I, we'll watch this country go down and there's nothing we can do about it. What was the solution of Elisha to Jericho when the sons of the prophet said, "Oga, we are dead. Oga, we can't explain. Why are we so blessed and so cursed? Why are we so rich and so broke? Why is it that our location is fine and yet this land does not produce anything?" You know, the first question of Elisha, "Give me a new cruise." Somebody say new cruise. I can't hear you say new cruise. For the last time, say new cruise. He said, "Give me a new cruise." The word cruise is more like a vessel. Everybody say vessel. I can't hear you say vessel. The Bible says, in a great house, there are what? There are many vessels. He's speaking about the house of God, the church. There are vessels. He said, "I need a new cruise. I need Christians. I need people who are born again, who are willing to pay the price of becoming salt, because you are also the salt of the earth. I need people who are willing to go the extra mile, who are willing to look at this giant and pay the price to bring him down." And look at me, ladies and gentlemen. The only person that was willing to engage that giant was a man by the name of David. And David said, "I am not thinking about myself at this point. I'm thinking about the destiny of a nation. How that this man has defied the army of God." And the Bible said, Elijah took that same salt in the new cruise. And he went to the source of the river. And he sprinkled it all over again. And say, "Let this land be healed from this day forward." He went forth to the spring of the waters, cast the salt there, and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters from this day. And from henceforth, there shall be no more death or barren land." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible recorded that from that time, next verse, that was how it was. Now everybody look up here. Please look up here. You know what God wants to do with SOAR Conference? And with many other things that God is doing across this country, God wants to raise the church again. God wants to raise believers. That's why we call it SOAR. SOAR means to get out of the ground and begin to fly the way you're supposed to fly. God wants to take again the saints of God. Take us and take us back to the major sources, whether it's called government or politics or education, or it's called media, or it's called religion, or it's called the family, or it's called business. God wants to take us back again and begin to put us again in the sources where we're supposed to be, so that by the time the sons of God arise and emerge, and we begin to occupy the places we should occupy, and we begin to engage where we should engage, once the church is able to arise again, healing and sanity will be restored back to our land. That's why the Bible says, if the people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and put away their sins and do the right thing they should do, he says, again, healing will come to their land and I will forgive their sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the solution to our problem in this country is not APC, PDP, or Labour Party. Good as all of them may look like, the solution to our country is in the hands of the church. It's you and I. I want to challenge you to know that we're in a day of opportunity where God wants to restore back righteousness and restore back the glory of the church. We are, listen to this, we are, the army of God has been insulted enough in this country. The church of God has been looked down enough in this country. It's time now for the giants of God to arise. That out of all of us here, we'll begin to comfort another Facebook. Eh? We comfort another Google. Comfort that as all of us begin to emerge and take our places in God. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatness of every country is in the greatness of the giants that they are able to produce. That's exactly what God ordained for the church to be. And let me say this to you, sir. South Korea is one of the model countries for the church, where a gentleman by the name of Dr. David Yonggi Cho, many years ago, went on his knee and decided to pay the price for the emergence of a Christian nation. I hope you know that it was out of David Cho's church that companies like LG came out of. Eh? Kia came out of that church. In fact, about 8 to 10 of the major, biggest companies in South Korea, all of them belong to one church, the Full Gospel Yaodo Church. That's where they all came out from. Is anybody hearing me? It was because one man was willing to pay the price for a nation to be redeemed and to produce giants. Without giants coming out of the church to take their place in society, to occupy the springs of water, the sources of the water, a nation will never emerge as a great nation. So finally, it is about kingdom, but it will boil down to you rising up without your company and become one of the next multi-billionaire in dollars and become one of the great things that happened to Africa. I thought I would hear an amen.
Amen.
Let me repeat myself for you. You didn't hear me. I said, finally, it's about kingdom over self. David said, this man is insulting the army of God. I know I may be killed and not a trained soldier, but this insult must stop, whatever it will take. But at the end of the day, even though it's about kingdom, I hope you know, David still asked, what will be given to the man that bring down this giant? So yes, it's about kingdom, but David got tax-free company, tax-free family, married the daughter of the king, and he was given a lot of riches. Who knows what I'm talking about? So, why are we doing what we're about to do? First, it's about kingdom. But guess what? It will trickle down to you becoming a multi-billionaire. I reject that amen. It will trickle down to your company become the biggest company in Africa. I was told the boys that own Flutterwave, after last year's declaration of their tax and everything, one of them went to Florida, bought a house worth about, is it $800 million? And I said, is he a believer? And nobody could answer the question for me. I prophesy over you at the end of this conference, out of you will come some of the wealthiest, greatest, and mightiest billionaires in this nation in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that as the dignity of the church is restored and the insult against believers comes to an end in this land because of the price we're about to pay, I declare that out every single one of us in this church, nobody will be small in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray over each and every one of you that SOA conference will be the beginning of your rising into your destined place of prosperity and affluence and wealth for the sake of the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me run through my checklist, number one. Pastor, so what do we do as I close? What is my responsibility, number one? Please give me the slides. Number one, every single one of us must do 5 things as we prepare for this conference. You must be present. You must be present. Change your calendar. Alter your program. Whatever it takes. People are coming from different places to be in this conference. You must be there. Number two, you must pray. We've set out a prayer agenda already. Beginning from tomorrow, fasting begins. 6 to 6. If you can't fast at 6, fast till any time you can fast. But do know that 8 o'clock, we are praying together Monday. 8 o'clock, we're praying together online on our Telegram platform. We're praying together on Tuesday. Wednesday, physically. Thursday, physically. Friday, physically. We're in church. We're praying together. We're going to be doing that for the next 21 days in preparation. Join us to pray. Don't just watch us from afar. Be a part of the prayer. Number three, Pastor, what are we going to do? Participate. Make sure you're going to join a department. Don't just watch this conference happen. We'll be needing people in literally every department. We'll be needing people to come to work because we're going to have a big tent out there. We are believing God for at least 20,000 human beings from the city of Enugu and beyond in this place. Make sure you join a department. The next P says participate. Be a part of those that must make it happen. Number 4 P, it says you must do publicity. Take that to your social media handle, your Twitter, your Instagram, your whatever. Put the handbill there. Put the handbill there. Sell it out. Share it with your friends. Tell somebody. And I'm sure as the days go on, they will give you more strategy on how we can do it. But do be a part of those who publicize the program. And finally, Pastor, what are we going to do? We must also give generously. You didn't put my P. They removed my P. That one says you must be profuse. Profuse in your giving. We must all make up our mind this season. There's a price to be paid. The destiny of a nation is at stake. The destiny of a people is at stake. The church has been insulted enough. If all of us run away, nothing will be done. But somebody will arise and say, in SOA conference, I made up my mind. I will pay the price. Do I have anybody like that in this place? Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Lift up your two and say, Heavenly Father, I reject that. Say, Heavenly Father, I volunteer myself. I commit myself. I donate myself. I consecrate myself. I surrender myself for the purpose of kingdom. for the purpose of God's agenda, for the destiny of a nation, for the cause of God's kingdom, I volunteer myself. I will be present. I will participate. I will give. I will pray. I will do publicity. I volunteer myself. This conference is a turning point. It's a turning point in my destiny, in my life, in my future. This conference is a turning point. It's a defining moment for the rest of my life. I therefore consecrate myself. Whatever price must be paid, I am willing to pay it. This commitment I make in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Give God praise, somebody.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.